Today we're going to focus on a passage of the Bible that has been in my spirit for a while as I watch what's going on in our country, as I watch the division within the country. And I think it came to a head last week in my spirit when certain things happen in succession. You know, first of all, I was in a store and a man came in without a mask and was adamant about not wearing a mask and how we were impeding upon his individual rights and things like that. He wasn't willing to practice social distancing, and others of us who had masks on were looking on horrified, you know, what's going on here? What's going down? And then you look in at the news and you see parties of people purposely coming together without masks, you know, in full defiance of what's going on in the world, what's going on in our nation, what's going on in the very cities. And you really look at that. And then you see a situation where churches, even churches, are divided on this subject of how far we should go to keep each other safe. Some are adamant about worshiping together, coming together in the building, masks are optional, come together because that is our individual right under the First Amendment, which is actually true. We do have the right to come together and worship as we please, protected by the First Amendment. So therefore, there's been a lot of litigation going on between churches and the government about mask wearing and social distancing and safety and things like that. And I just asked the question, what would you be willing to give up as far as your individual rights are concerned for the sake of the good for all? And when it comes to handling this pandemic, during this difficult time, we see that some people want their freedom right away. You know, it's my freedom to do this. Nobody can tell me what to do, while others are willing to forego their individual rights for the sake of the common good. Today, we're going to explore this theme. The topic is protecting ourselves and protecting our neighbors. And it comes from Matthew chapter 22, 22nd chapter of Matthew, a passage that starts out at the 34th verse of Matthew 22, a passage that is familiar to many of us. And it reads, "But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him, saying, 'Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?' Jesus said to him, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second commandment is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law of the prophets.'" And our focus really is that 39th verse. "And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Henceforth, protecting ourselves, protecting our neighbors. And the subtitle is, "Why We Are Not Focused on Gathering Together in the Building Right Now." Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your spirit. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. I thank you, Lord. And I just pray that as I share this message, Lord, that you be in the midst, Father, that you, first of all, control me as I share your gospel and open the hearts and ears of those listening to hear what thus saith the Lord. Amen. Protecting ourselves protecting our neighbors. It is interesting the lengths that we will go to protect someone when it's in our best interest. However, when it's not in our best interest, we want to do things our way. We don't want people to tell us what to do. It is true that we can worship together as we see fit. As a matter of fact, if you look at the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services, there's a statement in there that even says that mass gatherings of religious worshipers and ceremonies are exempt from the laws that have been put down regarding attendance and numbers and things like that. However, we have good guidance. And Minister Phillips even shared them in her prayer today. Excuse me, the three W's: to wear a cloth mask wherever you go, to wait and be 6 feet apart from one another, and wash your hands either with soap and water or from sanitizer. That's the guidance that we have been given. And so many of us are adhering to that guidance. Why are we adhering to that guidance? Because we wish to keep ourselves safe. And we wish to keep others safe. And as I watch the division within the nation, I understand that there are two different trains of thought regarding this pandemic. Two different opinions. One side is focused so much on doing what they want to do, how they are used to doing it, that they feel that it is their God-given right to not adhere to the laws of man that impede upon them. We see it, we've seen it always, but it's come to a head right now. While the other side is focused on limiting infections and keeping ourselves safe by slowing down, staying at home. We're okay with not being able to have the freedoms that we used to have because we want to remain safe. And as I look at this, I ask the question, how did we get to this point? How do we get to this point? And I think one way we got to this point is because we're listening to two different opinions. And we're choosing which one fits in with the way we like to think. You know, that's what mystified me when this pandemic started a year ago. And if you remember, we kind of shut down the building a week earlier than most people did. And the reason for me was because I was hearing two different opinions. I was hearing a government that said, don't worry about it, it will go away. They had the feeling that masks were not requirements, but just a mere suggestion. But then I heard the science say, wait a minute, this is serious. This is serious. We need to pay attention to this. We need to look out for one another. And you know, when I hear two different opinions, something tells me that we just need to err on the side of caution out of love. Now, my former pastor used to say, there's two reasons why people don't do. One, because they don't know, and the other, because they don't want to. Part of my job is to eliminate, number one, that you don't know, and share the facts with you. We can decide what we want to do on an individual basis. But if we are really following Christ, then we are mandated to look out for others. Now, in this passage that we're looking at today, the religious leaders, we see two groups of religious leaders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They are attacking Jesus because they have a goal of trying to prove that he is not who he says he is. They come together trying to trap him by asking questions in this 22nd chapter of Matthew, hoping to prove that he is not the Son of God. The Pharisees start out by asking a trick question regarding taxes paid to Rome. Then the Sadducees take their turn and they attempt to puzzle him with a question about the resurrection. You see, that's what Satan does. Satan will come at you in different ways, trying to get you confused, trying to get us to do something, say things that they want us to say. So this has happened. The Sadducees, they puzzled him about the resurrection, you know, the illustration about, you can read it for yourself, about the wife of a dead husband. And whose wife is she in the resurrection? And then the Pharisees come again, trying to trick Jesus, trying to trap Jesus in the 34th verse of Matthew 22, when they heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him, saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said unto him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind," is what he said. You know, this is the first and great commandment, and it is so true. This comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5, where the children of Israel were told, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, and the Lord is one." The Lord is our God, and he is one. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might or strength." That is what they were told. That was the foundation of the belief of God's people, loving God. But then Jesus went on in the 38th verse, chapter 22, saying, "This is the first and great commandment. And the second," in the 39th verse, "is like this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself." You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the laws and the prophets. And as I pondered on this message, it really struck me that that's the root of the situation, is do we have love for our neighbor? Do we have love for our neighbor? And it depends on how you define neighbor. Is neighbor that person who lives next door to you? Is your neighbor that person who shares the office in your business? Is your neighbor the person who is in the affinity groups that you belong to? Is your neighbor the people who agree with you? I don't believe that this is how Jesus defined that word neighbor. I believe it pertains to all of us. Remember, Mr. Rogers used to say, "Won't you be my neighbor?" How we treat others should be how we want others to treat us. After all, isn't that the golden rule? As we find in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, "Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law of the prophets." So therefore, as we look at Matthew 22 and we see that we need to love our neighbor as ourselves, that is why we are not going into the building right now, out of love for each and every one of you, out of love and concern for your health. Now, I know we have some medical people who are watching and listening to the service, and they can articulate it much better than I can, how diseases spread and how they can go from one person to another just like that. And I know from personal experience that when you see somebody with the flu, what do? You tend to move the other direction. So therefore, if we are in a state where infections are invisible and can go from person to person just like that, what happens if you have 100 people gathering together in close proximity and one or two are infected? What happens if you have a group of 50 people coming together and one or two are infected? What happens if we're in the building and I'm sharing the gospel, and as I raise my voice, I am exposing you to possible risk? It is out of love that we are proceeding cautiously. It is out of love that we are going to take our time and wait for the right time to come together. I think there are two reasons that I know of why some churches are being forced to gather together. One is because they believe it's their divine right to worship and assemble together. You know what? In one case, they're right. It is our divine right to gather together in worship. But isn't that what we are doing right here? Aren't we gathering together in worship? Aren't we worshiping where two or three are gathered in my name? I am truly in the midst. We're just not doing it in the building, but we are doing it. And I really don't like to talk to about my other brothers and sisters in servanthood of the Lord, but I think that some are misguided. Don't take away my right to come together in worship. Another one, and I'll be quite frank with you, some of it depends upon the money. You know, because we're not gathering together, we are losing out on an opportunity for individuals to give for the maintenance and keep of the church. And that is a real challenge, just like other entities during this time. But you know what? I have enough faith to believe that as long as we do the right thing, God will take care of the rest. I am not willing to put anybody in jeopardy just for the sake of physically touching and agreeing. I am not willing to put any of you at risk when we have an alternative. Beacon Light family and friends, I thank you. I thank you from the bottom of my heart for changing and being able to worship this way, getting used to putting your praises in chat instead of raising your hand in the building. I thank you for your obedience and your faithfulness. I thank you, for we will survive this. And one day we will be back in the building, but it's because we love you that we're not in there now. It's because we love you that we've quit putting timelines on when we're going back in. It's because we love you that we're listening to the science and being obedient to the rules and regulations. It does not mean that we have a lack of faith because we're listening to science, but it means that we're loving our people enough to want the best for them and want to see everybody come out of this okay. It's all about the love we have for our people. And those who are selfish and those who ignore the need to social distance, to wear masks and other things, I think back to Philippians 2, verse 2, 3 and 4. We need to protect one another. Paul says to the church in Philippi, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. I would love to be back in the building, among familiar surroundings, watching your faces, worshiping with you, celebrating with you, laughing with you, crying with you. But I'm looking out for each and every one of you. We cannot be accused of being selfish, of having selfish ambition, but we need to esteem each other better than ourselves. I want the best for you, and God wants the best for us. Let us not look after our own personal interests, but let us look after the interest of others. And you see this theme throughout the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament. Leviticus 19:18 says, you shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And I love myself enough not to think too highly of myself and look out for everybody, not just myself. Again, what compels us to follow the governmental regulations of the three W's? I think it's love. Because we love one another, we wear our cloth mask, realizing that it might not protect us, but it will protect the person that we are facing. We are willing to stay 6 feet apart from each other, to wait and avoid contact with one another. We are willing to wash our hands. I had known that I have probably washed my hands more in the last year than I have in the last 3 years combined. We are willing to do that. We grew up realizing or hearing that godliness, cleanliness is next to godliness. Now I kind of have an idea what they were trying to say, because truly we are trying to keep ourselves clean. Leviticus 19:34 tells us about strangers, and it says the stranger who dwells among you shall be to you as one born among you, and you shall love him as yourself. Think about it. What it's saying is that stranger, you should treat them like you would treat your own children. And we all know that we love our children. We would do anything for our children. Well, we are God's children. So therefore, we are going to follow the guidelines. We are going to wait until it's time. We are not going to force the issue of coming back together just for the sake of coming back together. For after all, we are the church. It's not the building, but it is the people. And I think I first understood that years ago when I went to Mexico and worship with people who didn't really even have a building, worship outdoors from yard to yard. And you kind of realize you see that in the New Testament, how people worship from house to house without a permanent place to worship. But yet God was still with them. Yet God was still protecting them, yet God was still there. So therefore, as we have the three W's, let me conclude this message with my own interpretation of the three W's. For us, the number one W is we are going to worship. Although it is virtually, we will still communicate with each other and keep the fellowship alive. We will do that by praying for one another. We will do that by sharing with one another, by keeping in track with one another. We will continue to worship. We're just not in the building. The second W is we are going to wait. We are going to wait on the Lord. We're going to wait until a time that it is right to gather together. It takes patience, but remember, it is all about we rather than all about me. We need to have that type of mentality and wait on the time, the right time, to go back in the building. And number three, we need to remember that we are washed. We are washed by the blood of the Lamb. We are sanctified. We are holy. It does not mean that we need to go to a certain building at a certain given time to receive that blessing, to receive that holiness, to receive sanctification, to receive what God has already given us. We have already been washed with the blood of the Lamb. So don't think that being in the building is the only way that you can get your religion on. Don't think that being in the building is the only way that you can receive a blessing. Don't think that being in the building is the only way to salvation. Yes, we are obedient to Scripture. We are gathering together. We're just doing it a different way. And why are we doing it a different way? It's because we love each other. We love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Protecting ourselves, protecting our neighbors. So when someone asks you, why aren't you back in the building yet? Share with them this passage. Share with them this message. And it's interesting that when you look at who's is back in the building versus who's not in the building, a lot of the churches who are not in the building yet look like us. Look like us. Because we realize that we have to be extra precautious with God's people. We have to take extra precautions with God's people. We need to watch out for one another. Beacon Light, I hear the good things that you're doing. I hear how you are checking on each other, regardless of where you live, whether your family, Beacon Light family here in North Carolina, Beacon Light family in Texas, Beacon Light family around the nation, we are checking with one another. Now believe that God is well pleased with our effort. We are not shirking our responsibility, but we are still meeting together. We are providing avenues for us to gather together throughout the week through Bible study and through corporate prayer. So see, we are the church and we are still worshiping together, albeit not in the building just yet. But one day we will be back. But remember, we have our individual rights and we have our corporate rights. And I believe in erring on the side of caution. Paul in 1 Corinthians was even challenged with that, where people were eating food that some thought was reserved for idols. And Paul even dealt with that. I believe it's around the 8th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And he even said that he would forgo eating certain meats if it would make my brother feel uncomfortable. So therefore, I say I will wear a mask if my presence will make somebody else feel uncomfortable. I will stay distance if my presence will make somebody else uncomfortable. I will keep clean, for my presence might make somebody else feel uncomfortable. And I encourage all of us to do likewise. God bless you. Staying safe, protecting ourselves, and protecting our neighbors. It's all about love. It's all about love. Where is your devotion? Do you love God or do you love the world? Wasn't it Jesus said you can't love God and man, and at the same time you can't have two masters? Hey, you can't have it our way all the time. So let us be obedient. And after a while, we will be together in the building. But even after we get back, remember that we are still the building, the church. The church is our collective members gathering together. That is the church. The Bible does not teach that brick and mortar make the church. It's the place we worship. It's the place that we are identified by. But it's our individual relationships between us and between God that makes the church. God bless you. And I pray that this message has answered some questions and maybe even inspired some to do more, to share their love with their neighbor.